Now, I want your attention, undivided attention. I'm going to say for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. It just may prove to be the most important half hour of your entire life. 30 minutes. Because I'm going to answer two vital questions. The first one is this. What is it that a man must believe in order to have eternal life? That's a good question. I'm going to answer that question. No frills, no persuasible words, no enticing words. Just on flat answer. And the second question is, on what authority can I promise eternal life to those who believe what I preach about Jesus Christ? All right, that's the assignment. Now let's take the first question. What is it that a man is to believe in order to be justified, sanctified, forgiven, and redeemed forever? It's clearly stated in John 20:31. Clearly, plainly stated. No frills, just clearly stated. Listen. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you, that's you and me, might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. That's what it says. And you notice that all that a man is to believe in order to have eternal life is related to the person and work of Christ. There's nothing said here about believing the truth about the church or the woman question or some catechism or creed or the Philadelphia London Confession or prophecy. Everything that a man has to believe or must believe or should believe in regard to this thing of life is about Christ. You know what it says? It's about Christ. Now, the person and work of Christ. Now, it's four or five things. Number one, we are to believe him to be the Son of God. Look at the text again. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He said to Peter and the apostles, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. When Philip talked to the Ethiopian eunuch about the Word of God and about the gospel, and the eunuch said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said to him, if you believe, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is that clear? He's the Son of God. He who rejects. Now listen to me. He who rejects the deity of Christ, the Godhead of Jesus of Nazareth, can never know God. He can never have eternal life. It doesn't matter who he is, my friends. It doesn't matter what religious persuasion or denomination he's identified with. If he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he does not have eternal life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. If you believe not, Christ said, that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I am who? The Son of God. You see what I'm saying? So that's the first thing. Very simply stated. Very simply stated. We must believe that Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of Mary, lived in the world, died on the cross, buried and rose again, he's none other than God himself. Now watch this. Christ said, I and the Father are one. We are one. The Lord our God is one God. He's one God. But yet the Lord our God is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When Christ said, I and the Father are one, he didn't mean that he is actually the Father. He said, we are one. If he's actually the Father, he would say, I and the Father is one. Isn't that right? Henry Mahan and Henry Thomas Mahan is one. See what I'm saying? But Henry Mahan and Mike Belfries are one in Christ. That makes sense. I and the Father is one, he would have said, if they are the same. I can't explain the Trinity. I'm not going to even make an effort to. But I just know that he that seeth the Son has seen the Father, because he's the express image of the Father. Jesus Christ is God. Now, you just have to believe it that way, because you can't have eternal life if you don't. You've got to believe it that way. He is God. And if he's not God, he can't save a flea. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can offer a sacrifice effectual to forgive. All right, secondly, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. All right, the second thing is this. We must believe, in order to be saved, we must believe that this Son of God is Jesus, Son of Man. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying this. We believe that the Son of God, that God himself, became flesh. This Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. Now, let me quote you some scripture. Isaiah 7:14 said, behold, the Lord shall give you a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child and call his name Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel. See that? Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. God with us. He who made the world was in the world. The Word was with the Father. The Word is God. Not is the Father, he is God. It never says that Christ is the Father. It says he's God. He was with the Father. And he is also, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. It was necessary that our Redeemer take on himself our flesh. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. For you see, he had to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And he had to do it in our circumstances. And he had to do it in our surroundings. And he had to do it with the material that we have to work with. That makes sense? In other words, what the Father, what the law, what the justice of God requires of me, the Father that fulfills it has got to be like me. He's got to be numbered with me. He's got to be bone of my bone and flesh of our flesh, or it don't count. Does that make sense? It doesn't count. Jesus Christ as God obeying the law doesn't count. No, it doesn't count, because he's not tempted. You can't tempt God. But you can tempt the man. See what I'm saying? And he was tested in all points as I am, yet without sin. Jesus Christ never performed a miracle to relieve his own distress. He made food to feed others, but he wouldn't make the bread, stones bread to feed himself. He made water to come out of a rock for Israel, but he said, I thirst. Would you give me a drink? He said that two or three times. Woman at the well. I'm thirsty. Good night. He made the well. But see, he's a man. See what I'm saying? And you've got to believe this, or you don't have a righteousness. Because a man fulfilled that righteousness. A man did it. A man just like this man standing right here. Yeah, but he was God.
He was man.
He always did those things that pleased the Father. Now, that's what you got to believe. All right? That's what it says here. If you believe that Jesus, you mean the carpenter? Yes, sir. That's who I'm talking about. Son of Mary? Yes, sir. You got it. Why, we know his disciples and his brothers and sisters. I know you do. No, you don't know him either. He's God in the flesh. All right, here's the third thing. We got to believe that he's the Christ. Now, watch, these words are all here. Jesus is the Christ. Now, my friends, Peter said that, he said, whom do you say I am? Peter said, we believe that thou art the Christ. Really and truly, we hear people in the mess of finger, they say, Jesus Christ. Well, they don't know what that means. We even hear preachers talking about Jesus Christ. They don't know what that means.
See, Jesus is his name of humiliation. Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua. It's Joshua that has to take the people from wilderness into Canaan. Joshua, Savior, Jesus, man. Christ. The Christ is the name of the Old Testament Messiah. You see what I'm saying?
The Old Testament promises a Messiah. Promises a prophet.
Like Moses, raised up by God, whom you shall hear.
Promises a priest, not like
Levi and his son, but a priest forever, like Melchizedek, supernaturally raised up. A king like David. Jeremiah, the Lord our righteousness.
Isaiah, the tender plant, the root out of dry ground, the substitute for his people. All the way through the Old Testament, so that when he came, Peter said, you are the Christ. You're the Christ. And Peter said at Pentecost to that crowd of Jews from everywhere, he said, God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified Lord and Christ. He didn't say he made this Jesus Christ Christ. He said he made this Jesus the Christ. Got it? He's the Christ. You believe that? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's that prophet, that priest forever, that king. He's that tabernacle, that sacrifice, that priesthood, and that sin offering. He is the Christ. We don't look for another. He is the Christ. Just put all our hope right there. Rest right there. Go sit down. Rest it in. He is the Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is all things. He's the Christ. Well,
that's what John the Baptist was asking. Are you he for whom we look, or do we look for another? And when Christ sent him word, I'm the Christ, that does it. All right? That's not all.
Now watch this. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God, and that believing you might have life
through his name. Now you hold your seat there a minute. And let me say something that's not being preached in 1986 by very many people.
That name, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. It says, none other name under heaven. Turn to Acts chapter 3 a moment. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 3. Here was a man that was lame from his birth. And Peter and John came to the temple, lame from his mother's womb. And they were about to go into the temple. In verse 3 of Acts 3, he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked for a handout. And Peter, fastening his name on him with John, said, look on us. And verse 5 said, he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name. Now look at verse 16.
And it says in verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we're witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Faith in his name. Now look at Acts 4, verse 10. It's important. Be it known unto all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, his name is him,
doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brother Man, what are you getting at? Let me read you another verse, Acts 10, 43. Acts 10, 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sin. My friends, his name reveals his character and his attributes, really who he is. When you use the word Jesus, now preachers all over the world are talking about Jesus. Do this in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But what does this name mean to you? Well, the Bible gives us a sevenfold name of our Lord. If you don't have this somewhere in your Bible written, marked, you ought to have it marked. It ought to be studied. I put it in these books. I got it right here in the back of my Bible written out right there. The name of Christ. And it's important. It's throughout the Old Testament. I'll give it to you briefly. Genesis 22, 13, 14. Genesis 22, 13, 14. You go there and read it. It'll tell you. Don't try to write all this down. Now just get the text. Genesis 22, 13, 14. He's called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah, that's Savior, God my Savior. And it means the Lord will provide. That was when Abraham was going up the mountain. He had the fire and the wood. And his son says, where's the lamb? He said, Jehovah Jireh is the lamb. Now that's how you believe, that's how you call on Christ. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who provides. He provides himself a lamb. He provides him for himself a lamb. That's right. He provides the lamb, he provides it for himself, and he is the lamb. All right? Exodus 15, 26. He's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. By his stripes we're healed. This is the way you believe on Christ. You don't just believe on Jesus the superstar, or Jesus the reformer, or Jesus the confused one that didn't know where he was or who he was, or Jesus the good preacher. You believe on Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He healeth all our sicknesses and diseases and sorrows by his blood. And then Exodus 17. Exodus 17. 8 through 15. Exodus 17, 8 through 15. He is Jehovah Nissi. He's the Lord our banner. He's the Lord our banner. Now, I wouldn't split hairs, but you notice I got an American flag here. And I'm grateful for this country. And I know you are. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
But you notice anything missing over here? There ain't no Christian flag. Because Christ is our banner. You see what I'm talking about?
There's no white flag with a blue background and a red cross on it, marching as to war with a bunch of spears to whip them
bad old pagans. Christ is our banner. The battle is the Lord. Now, I'm telling you the truth.
And that ain't splitting hairs either if you get to looking at the hair long enough. It's important. Christ is our banner. We pledge allegiance not to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. We pledge allegiance to the Savior himself.
That's right.
I just don't go to war over that. But in Judges 6:24, he's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord our peace. He's the King of peace and the King of Salem. The Lord our peace, Jehovah 6:24. Psalm 23, he's the Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Rea, the Lord our shepherd, our provider. He I shall not want. That's him in whom I trust, and that's why I trust him. I'll never want in him for anything I need. He is Jehovah Rea, R-A-A-H, the Lord our shepherd. Jeremiah 26:3, he's Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
That song you sing, Bridget.
The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sidkenu. Get a copy of that. That song tells what it is. The Lord's our righteousness. Not our own, but his. Him. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. And then Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. The Lord is present. He is present. I heard a preacher say the other day, well, if Jesus Christ were alive today, I'll tell you what he'd do.
You say he slipped. He slipped and told what he believed.
If he were alive today, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is present. He is present. Now, watch our text again, John 20:31. These are written that you might believe that Jesus, Joshua, son of Mary, son of man, Christ, the anointed, the sent of God, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of all promises, the Son of God, deity, through his name, Jehovah, Nisa, Rhea, Rapha, Sidkenu, Shammah, Salem, the Lord, I am. Who are you, Moses said, I am. That's Jesus. I am. You believe not that I am. You find in me all you need. And now fifthly, this faith in Christ, the Son of God, this isn't just a mere knowledge of facts. I could take anybody and teach him these facts. But this salvation is not a mere knowledge of facts. It's a heart commitment to Christ. It's to know that he's Jehovah, Sidkenu, and to thank God for it, and to approve of it, and to rest in it. It's a heart trust and a heart commitment and a heart submission to Christ for all things. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and all that it involves, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a heart belief. The heart believe. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. It's in him. And that's the reason that Paul prayed. He said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. I'm going to preach on this tonight. Something we all need to hear tonight. What happened to Lydia? What happened to Lydia? Something happened to Lydia. And boy, you ought to have seen the results. What happened to Lydia? God opened her heart. Paul didn't do it, and she didn't do it, and her neighbor didn't do it, and God did it. And my, what a miracle. All right, here's the second question. By what authority do I promise eternal life to those who believe these things I've just stated? All right, I'll give it to you just briefly. Number one, for what reasons can I promise eternal life to those who believe in Christ? Number one, well, it's the command of God that you believe on Christ. Turn to 1 John 3. Now listen to this scripture, 1 John 3. Now listen, just listen carefully to this. Well, by what authority do I promise that everybody here who really in his heart believes this message is saved? God commanded it. And what God commands, I have a full right to believe. Listen to 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son. Isn't that right? I hear everybody talking about the commandment said, thou shalt not kill. Well, what right do I have not to kill? Well, God commanded it. I don't hear anybody arguing about that. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Everybody feels at liberty to obey those commandments, don't they? Yeah, they do. You don't feel like it's not right for you to do that, is it? Sure, it's right. Well, he said this is his commandment, believe on his Son. You better do that too. See what I'm saying? That's my authority. That's the warrant of faith. God commanded it. I must not do less. I must believe. The gospel's not just an invitation. It's a command. I hear preachers say, won't you please believe in Jesus? God never said that. This is his commandment that you believe in his Son. I'll say that again. The gospel is not an invitation. It's a commandment. Kings don't invite slaves to do anything. He commands them to believe. Almighty God does not invite you to believe on his Son. He commands you to believe on his Son. You know what that says? That's what it says in this Bible. This is, and the word invitation is not
in the Scriptures, but three times. And every time it has to do with inviting somebody to dinner. Look it up. That's right.
But commandments in there. He commands you to believe on His Son. He commands you to believe on His Son. All right, here's the second reason. You know, the commandment. Lazarus, come forward. May I, Mother, may I? Y'all ever play that game? You better skedaddle out of there, Lazarus. The Lord said, come out. And then here's the second thing. On what authority do I promise eternal life to those who believe on Christ? Not only the command of God, it's the character of God.
God delights to show mercy. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Scripture says He delight with Him is plenteous mercy. Plenteous mercy. We'll never run out of water around here as long as the Ohio River flows.
Well, you say that's good for a long time. His grace is more sufficient than that.
He delights to show mercy. He said, I will be merciful. All right, here's the third thing. What on what authority?
Christ died to save sinners like you and me. That's why He came.
Why all this agony and suffering, O Son of Man?
It's to save sinners. You mean like me? The chief of sinners. That's why He died. My, my.
He came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man has not come to condemn the world, but through Him the world might be saved. And then fourthly, what is my authority? Well, when the Lord sent His disciples out to preach, He said, you go into all the world and preach this good news to every creature.
Every creature. Every and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I like the shalls of God's Word.
They shall be saved. You believe it, God will save you. And then the fifth thing, I asked a question on the fifth one.
If not to Christ, to whom shall I go? Now you just suggest something. I can't go to the Jewish sacrifices. It plainly says they cannot save. I can't go to the law. It plainly says by the law shall no flesh be justified. I can't turn to the flesh. It says, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, to whom shall I look? He said, look unto me. I'm God.
I'm a just God and a Savior. To whom shall we go, if not to Christ? And then here's the last one. I told you 30 minutes, that you didn't believe I could do that. But I do that on television every week. That's 29 minutes.
You say you make... So you can hear what I'm about to say. I got your attention, hadn't I? They tell me that an elephant, when he comes to a bridge,
that an elephant will either lay his trunk out there and test it, or he'll put one of those big old feet of his on it before he walks on it, and he'll test it. And then he'll cross that bridge. That's what I read just the other day. He'll cross that bridge. Now, if I see one of those 3-ton elephants, or whatever, across the bridge, it'd be pretty ridiculous for me to stand back here. I weigh 185 pounds to be afraid to cross that bridge. But if that elephant crossed it, it'll hold me. And I'll tell you this. When I see God in His mercy saving a Saul of Tarsus, who by his own admittance
hated Jesus Christ, despised the church, was himself a blasphemer, injurious, did all in his power to obliterate the very name of Christ. I tell you, if God can save him, He can save me. He can save you. Don't sit around talking about how wicked you are.
I know you're wicked. The Bible says you are. But you're just like all the rest of us.
And Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. So when you see an elephant like Saul of Tarsus walking across the bridge, you can make it. Not even a creek. The timbers of mercy, not even a creek. It can hold a world of sinners because His grace is sufficient. Where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound.
Is that a clear message? That's the gospel. God, the last thing. By what authority It says himself he could not save, but it says
he saved others. And I'm others. I'm others. Our Father, thank you for the word. Oh, thank you for the word. Thank you for every promise of this book. And like Abraham of old, we believe that what God has promised, God is able to perform. Grant that saving faith to all who are here today. That saving faith in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.